What's going on, grandkids? Welcome to the knee-jerk edition of Stunt Granny Audio. Eric Nelson and Dusty Giebank are here. Dusty, how's it going, my man?
Oh, true blue, because I'm a jungle brother.
That's awesome. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's still awesome.
I don't know either, but it's a good song. Whatever.
Did I tell you that we found a bag of meth stuff next to my dad's house last time I went to Fort Dodge?
A bag of what stuff? I think I heard what you said.
Yeah, meth, M-E-T-H, meth stuff.
Yep, okay, yep.
Did I tell you about this yet?
No, you haven't.
Okay.
Is Fort Dodge known for that kind of thing, or?
Fort Dodge is pretty sketchy. It's mostly just known for being a rough town. Like, literally, there are two cities that I've moved to since living and you know, being born and raised in Fort Dodge.
Yeah.
One of which is Waterloo, Iowa, which in and of itself is a real nasty place, too. And when I moved to Waterloo, I had a resident of Waterloo ask me, "Where are you from?" I said, "Fort Dodge." And they recoiled and said, "Ooh, that's a rough town."
Okay.
So, short story, my dad's kind of, he's not feeling well because he's a smoker, a lifelong smoker. And
sure.
So, myself, my older brother, and my dad's girlfriend were all at the house with my dad, and my dad was trying to separate his worldly belongings into piles of keep this, trash that, and put that on the auction block.
Yeah.
And so whatever this bucket he had in his basement, we're down in his basement, he had this bucket full of debris that came from, he had his chimney taken out. And so my brother and my dad's girlfriend hauled the bucket out through the garage, around the corner, and they're going to go down the alleyway and either just, like, toss it down the alley or put it in the backyard or somewhere inconspicuous. And as my dad's girlfriend is walking, she sees a plastic bag up against the garage and is like, "Oh, hell, dirty-ass people." And she goes to, like, touch it and pick it up. And she bends over and she says, "And I smelled ether."
Oh, my God.
I'm like... And one of two things could have been the case. Either one, I thought maybe Jim Cornette was hanging out.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. You motherfucker.
Sorry. Okay. Or number two, my brother, who may or may not be well-versed in this stuff, was actually the correct one and said, "Yeah, that's meth."
Whew. Okay.
It was like a couple of chemicals and then a pop bottle, a Mountain Dew bottle.
Okay.
And apparently one of the new crazy-ass methods of making meth is to just put a couple of ingredients in a pop bottle and shake it up, and there you have it. You have meth.
Wow.
Yeah. So, real healthy for my dad.
You can't even get meth the right way. You know the world is going to shit.
No kidding. How can we make it easier to make meth? We don't fucking do anything all day but sit around our house and dream up ways to make meth.
Yeah.
We dig through our kitchen cupboards and our garages and find all the chemicals we can. Oh, shit. Well, I don't want to – my name's on the registry for batteries and Sudafed. I've already bought them 3 times this month. What the fuck else am I going to do? You know, put some baking soda and carburetor fluid in a pop bottle and shake it up.
No, your dad also lives near a place where dogs just run free. Because I can sympathize with that as well.
Yeah. The neighbors across the street, one of whom came over to never made an appearance in my dad's property before, decided to come over and kind of poke around and, just seeing what was going on in the neighborhood. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure your fucking nephew or somebody tossed that shit out their window to my dad's house, asshole. But, yeah, they've got a dog that runs around too, which I don't ever have dog stories. I'm the one of us four that doesn't have a dog. You were saying that your dog just made a friend recently, but also you told me I don't know if you told me the origins of your dog's name, but there's a connection there to one of your favorite sports people.
Yeah, I listen to the Dan Levitard show pretty reg, and I got into him because he was always entertaining on Pardon the Interruption. He's the main fill-in guy whenever Tony or Michael has to miss, and... You know, it just, like, occurred to me one day, like, oh, he probably has a podcast if he's a radio guy, you know? And sure enough, he did, and I started listening to it, and it was awesome.
Yeah, sure enough, it's awesome.
And, one time he had Gene Simmons on the show, and Gene Simmons couldn't remember Levitard. So he kept calling them Levitts. And now, like, everyone else on the show calls him Levitts as an inside joke. And so I thought that would be a funny name to name my dog.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So.
Great name that only Jewish Gene Simmons could have come up with. I think he's Jewish.
Right? Yeah. Levitts just sounds so Jewish. He assumes everybody's Jewish.
Yeah, let's take part of your last name and add it's to it.
Yeah. Keep it.
Yeah, I can't remember my bandmates. Paul Stanitz, Eric Crisberg. No, it wasn't not Paul. Wasn't Peter Crisberg.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about kids, sorry.
Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Peter Chris and I don't know. No idea.
Yeah, fuck it. Paul, did I say Paul Stanley?
Paul Stanley, there it is.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, and Ace Freestein.
You can tell I really listen to him all the time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of fans around here of grown men who wear only half their clothes and paint their faces.
No, the only person like that I approve of is Dr. Roxo.
He loves cocaine.
That's right, baby.
Oh, my God. Well, also, before we get into current wrestling news, I interjected myself into a thread on the Pro Wrestling Torch VIP forum. If you're not a member yet, go to pwtorch.com/go VIP. to become a member, and there was a thread on there that spoke to me, and I figured if you ever saw it, it would spoke to you too. Oh, maybe I love cocaine. It would speak to you too, Jesse. It was a question about WrestleMania 5.
That's what I'm reading right now.
Okay, user Colby something or other. In fact, what exactly does his thread ask, just so I can get it right?
All right, I'll read it here. So I just got the WrestleMania anthology. I'm watching WrestleMania 5. I see they've edited the Piper's Pit segment where Brother Love had his kilt torn off by Piper. Any idea why they did this?
Right.
And then Martman points out that it probably has to do with time on the tape that they're distributing.
Uh-huh.
Like the Turner Home Entertainment releases.
Yes.
Were only 2 hours.
Yes, they
so
were.
So every WCW show you might buy is really hacked the shit out of.
Which sucks because the Great American Bash 1991, which is universally considered the worst pay-per-view in wrestling history, it's still bad, but it's not as bad as a two-hour VHS tape.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even think it's got the PN News scaffold match on it at the beginning.
I don't know.
Which is even stranger because as you continue to watch the show, they don't tear the scaffold down. So you get to the end of the show and there are like two cage matches, but there's a scaffold above the ring. And,
right?
You know, if you weren't closely paying attention, like I wasn't watching every single week then you get the tape and it's like, what's that mess?
Yeah. It just looks like a hot mess.
Yeah.
but if you get the full-length version, you see 3 hours of dying, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like some bizarre performance art.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
But anyway, the question was about WrestleMania edits, and pretty much all of the early WrestleManias went four and a half hours.
Yeah.
And so they're edited down on videotape.
Now that doesn't account for the DVD that Colby apparently I think was talking about. I don't know if he's responded. I responded, then Martman responded to me, then I responded to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the DVDs aren't as concerned with constraints of time as VHS. I know there is a finite amount of time on a DVD, but it's more like 6 hours or 10 hours or something.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. On the DVD, which Colby was talking about. So my thought was that Piper's Pit segment from WrestleMania 5 was so god-awfully miserable
mm-hmm.
that they had to cut something. Like, like I said, some like 16 years later after the VHS came out, they rewatched it, and somebody in their right mind was like, this is terrible. We've got to trim something. Let's make it the part where Bruce Pritchard runs around in his underwear.
Brother Rodney!
Brother Popper! Now, I don't know. I don't know if you had maybe an opinion on that. That's the best guess I have, because they wouldn't have edited it for time on a DVD. No,
I didn't think they did edit it on the DVD.
I actually went back and watched it, and they did. Like, you know the part you know the part where Brother Love is in Roddy Piper's face, but then Morton Downey flicks a cigarette at him, and he turns and gives him that real nasty Hollywood look?
Yes.
On the live broadcast and on the VHS, he turns around, blah, 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 to Brother Love, then rips his kilt off, and Brother Love takes off.
Okay.
And then Piper turns his attention to Downey.
Yeah.
On the DVD, he shoots Downey that nasty look, and then the next camera shot you see is Piper talking directly to Downey, and Brother Love's already gone.
Huh.
So you don't see him go run off.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So, again, time constraints, not a factor. Good taste, maybe a factor.
Yeah. It's probably one of those things where whenever I'm watching that show,
uh-huh.
that's such a bad segment that I kind of zone out until it's over.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's why I didn't notice it.
Well, I do the same thing with the Run DMC WrestleMania rap. I usually just skip it rather than zone out, but that's so miserable.
A little bit of that goes a long way, Jess.
That show, by the way, is so full of cliches. When they introduce it on the DVD, you know, the tape, it was just Gorilla doing the Coliseum video voiceover.
Yeah.
But the DVD version, which is the live broadcast, he's like, you can cut the electricity with a knife. They're hanging from the rafters. It's fast, hot, and furious. I'm like, oh, my God, it's cliche overload, Gorilla.
I don't care. I love the guy.
Yeah, it was great. But now I've got something for you now. Another segment as part of this WrestleMania DVD that thankfully was not on the Coliseum video, made it onto the DVD, features one of your favorite wrestling personalities of all time, Sean Mooney.
All right, all right.
And he's at ringside interviewing Donald Trump.
Yes!
And I'm hoping that when I put my phone up to the speakers of my 19-inch television, that things go well and that everyone's able to hear this clip. I'm going to go ahead and hit play and put my phone up to the TV and see. You just tell me in about a minute and a half, because I won't be able to hear you say yes or no until I bring the phone back to my ear. You let me know if this was audible, and I might transcribe this on the blurb for the post, too. So are you ready to hear Sean Mooney interview Donald J. Trump?
Go ahead.
Okay. Here we go. We're
joining Donald J. Trump, the illustrious Donald Trump, and Mr. Trump, this is the second WrestleMania you have hosted in a row. Can you give us some idea what an event of this magnitude means not only to Atlantic City, but to the Trump organization?
Well, it's brought people from thousands of miles away. It's been fantastic. It's been unbelievable. The traffic, the numbers of people. We're really honored to be here and honored that you folks joined us. It's a great honor.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with week with us. I want to ask you this, though. Have the casinos been busy?
They are packed. The whole town is packed. It's been a real boom to the town. It's been just a great thing and an unbelievable event. Everybody's excited. We're all enjoying ourselves.
Well,
thank you.
I know I'm going to leave a few dollars in Atlantic City.
Well, I hope so.
Well, thanks again for joining us. While the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Hulk Hogan still have to worry about winning, it appears that Donald J. Trump already has. Now, there are winners here as well. This capacity crowd thus far has gotten more than there's money's worth. Right now, let's go back to you, Gorilla.
Could you hear all of that by any chance?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, I don't even know where to start. Was he just nervous talking to Donald J. Trump?
Yeah, because, well, you know, man, you know his deal. He is very packaged on the television shows, you know? So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when Joey Styles was doing the first ECW pay-per-view, and every time they cut to him, it looked like he was in a hostage situation, you know?
Yeah, that's about right.
So, I mean, that's Sean Mooney caught in the headlights. right.
Yeah, it really is. I got to go back through this just for a second. I'm not going to take up too much of everybody's time, but I'm joining Donald J. Trump. Let's see. What's the next funny thing he says?
Well, how badass was Trump saying, yeah, I hope you do.
Yeah, yeah. What was, oh, God, what did he just say? He said something that made me scoff and giggle.
Man, you don't like him.
No, there's truly nothing.
You're going to bug up your ass about Sean Mooney, man.
There's nothing to like about Sean Mooney. I lost it. Something about more than there's money's worth. But
yeah,
he sounds like a guy from, he sounds like a fucking guy from, what's that show we were just talking about? Metalocalypse. Use guys and there's, use lost your money.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, just bark right in my ear. That's awesome.
Hey, that's the aforementioned dog.
It is. It is. That is Levitz.
Levitz, making a guest appearance on Stunt Granny Audio.
Hi, buddy. You're famous now. All right.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, I got that out of my system. I just, he's, it's so funny. He's so nervous.
Yeah. You know what else really sucks on that show?
What's that?
Where the guy wants to talk to the bushwhackers, but the bushwhackers are just licking him.
Uh-huh.
That's one of those, oh, God, why did they do that?
Uh-huh, yeah. And he's just like,
why did they put the mic up to him? They could have just had the bushwhackers lick him and move on, you know?
Right, yeah. it's awkward. Oh, man. Well,
a lot of cocaine backstage at that show.
It was the Wild West.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Speaking of guys that you're fond of that I might not be as fond of, let's get to some current wrestling news, shall we?
All right, go ahead.
Let's see, Monday, whatever time, probably morning it was, John Morrison went to, he underwent surgery, apparently pinched a nerve in his neck and decided that he needed surgery on it, probably a smart idea.
Yep.
The prognosis is good, and he's probably going to need 4 to 6 weeks off. Everybody's coming out of the woodwork, like, I want to say Shawn Michaels might have been one of them, and Jim Ross on his barbecue blog, everyone's saying, you know, take your time, heal. You're only going to come back better. Don't rush yourself in case you might hurt yourself. And they managed to work it into the angle with R-Truth. I guess first question, is anyone prepared to step up and take his spot on the Monday Night Raw roster, or are we just going to get Rey Mysterio again?
I mean, that's probably where they'll go at first. I can't remember all the people that switched.
Yeah,
maybe somebody from SmackDown.
They haven't really done a very good job of, like, drilling home who got switched in the draft. It's just, it was another gimmick Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, focusing on the same few people they always focus on.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Any hope of a stronger mid-card or bottom card, it's just not there.
No. They did go to Ray immediately on Monday night. I don't know. I suppose because he's like one of the top baby faces. I suppose because he's familiar.
Yeah, they always fall back on the veterans.
Yeah.
Like Ray and Kane and guys like that. Like they're terrified of trying something new.
Right, yeah.
Until they absolutely have to.
Yeah, but to your point, it's hard to remember who's even around at this point.
I would have to look it up.
Right, yeah, and I don't even know if it's worth doing that. My next question is, why R-Truth? I think anyone who listens to this show and has listened on a regular basis probably even heard you and I goofing on R-Truth a few years ago when he was rapping about John Cena while he was at the drive-thru of the Taco Bell.
Right.
I mean, what redeeming qualities does R-Truth have that warrant this sort of push?
You know, I'm kind of hoping for some irony here. He talked about John Cena being in Vince McMahon's elastic, and a pretty good way to get a push, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know. It seems to have come out of nowhere. He's mid-card guy. He's mid-card guy. And now he's important guy, you know?
The weird thing, this is a weird observation, but they've always given him, like, a little more spotlight than he's deserved in odd and strange sorts of ways. I think it was the WrestleMania 25 DVD. I think it was 25. He was on the cover of the DVD, and he wasn't even on the card.
Yeah.
And then at this last year's WrestleMania, Jeremy or Kevin, one of the other, bought one of those commemorative cups, plastic cups, from the concession stand.
Okay.
And all the way around the cup were pictures of WWE superstars, including R-Truth.
Uh-huh.
So what did R-Truth ever do to earn a spot on a commemorative cup?
I don't know.
The thinking's got to be when you make one of those things, when somebody in WWE, or maybe someone at 7-Eleven or somebody at Georgia Dome or whatever, you know, doing the graphic design for this thing, has to think, we want people to buy this cup. We want people to spend the extra $1 on this cup. And then they'll be proud to take it home. Who can we put on this cup? I know, R-Truth.
Right.
I don't know where that thinking comes from.
Does he get big pops at the arena? And is it possible that they're confusing that with being over?
Yeah, he's got that built. Well, when he was a babyface, he had that built-in reaction with the "What's Up" theme song.
Right. Has that possibly fooled WWE management into thinking he's more than he is?
Yeah, that's very possible. I mean, that means his theme song is over. That doesn't mean he's over.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good
anybody
point.
With a sing-along is going to get the crowd. You know.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's just the way it is.
Man on a Mission. Thanks to the live rapping of Oscar. You know, just
isn't
because everybody.
Isn't he your special friend, though?
Oscar was my special friend, yeah. He was a true friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in a while, about 11 years. But, yeah, we're true friends. But,
I bet if you saw him tomorrow, he was just like old times.
Oh, I'm sure. We'd probably just give each other the shirts off our back. We'd just trade. Just because everybody said, oh, and somebody screamed, doesn't mean that Men on a Mission were over.
Is that what he was asking for?
I think so. What was the next line? Well, what was the next line of that song?
I don't fucking know. Don't make me do the whole thing.
I think it rhymed with Yeah, basically. Wonder if I can remember the WrestleMania 10 rap. We got Ronda Shear from Up All Night. WrestleMania 10, it's out of sight. We got Burt Reynolds from Evening Shade. And Smokey and the Bandit, he had it made.
Oh, my God.
From Hair Club for Men, yo, we got Cy Sperling. Hair will be weaving, corn rolling, and curling.
Wow.
See, only a true friend would remember his rap.
I bet you collaborated with him on that one.
God, I wish. That'd be so awesome. I mailed him a fan letter. It's all scribbled, backward E's and shit. I am your biggest fan. P.S. Make sure you work in weaving, corn rolling, and curling in there somewhere.
He's like madly scribbling. Yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah.
Somewhere PN News is like, why did I think of that?
Word up, it's Havoc 91, we're going to take care of business and have some fun. And when this party's over, hear the fat ladies sing. PN and Josh are the greatest when they do their thing.
Oh, my God.
Something like that.
There's another, I think it was Great American, no. Oh, yeah, it was Great American Bash. He did a rap for it where, yeah, he was like, now Nikita Koloff will be taking on Sting. And something, something, something all over the ring. I think he had a rhyme about Ric Flair, too. Since he got kicked off the show, they probably had to fix it. It was probably like, now you know Lex Luger will be getting in there for the world title, taking on Barry Windham.
That's great.
Oh, I wish we had more rappers in wrestling.
Me too.
Oh my god.
I could do the whole show about rapping wrestlers.
Yeah, no shit. Well, maybe we should. I think we just drunk gold. Oh fuck. That's brilliant. Well, I think we've blown out any possibility of a natural segue here.
Yep.
Other than going back to mentioning John Morrison taking a few weeks off, I don't know. Is there anything else worth talking about with John Morrison? He's gonna come back into a ready-made feud with R-Truth. He's probably gonna go over and, you know.
Yeah, this is kind of a positive for him. He'll come back in a good situation to be a babyface.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dispose of R-Truth and move on to the next thing. That'll be really good for him.
Yeah. And it's actually good to see that the writers went this route. He probably knew, you know, a couple weeks ago he needed surgery. You can't just, like, you know, go drive through a hospital and ask for a surgery and a Diet Coke.
Right.
So they're like, oh, cool.
Drive through surgery, yeah.
Yeah, oh, we'll do an injury angle.
Get your leg out there, yeah.
Yeah, free amputations with your kid's meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, work it into an injury angle, get another guy over for a few weeks, and then there you go, retribution.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. Speaking of injuries and surgeries, though, this actually kind of dovetails in with that. It was just announced that UFC, they had a press release Monday that 350 UFC and Strikeforce fighters are now eligible for what they're calling customized accident insurance. It will cover accidental injuries suffered by the fighters during training, which is good because have you ever noticed how often you read a story, oh, main event of UFC 300 got canceled because some dipshit broke his hand in training?
Yeah, definitely.
In fact, I think the next UFC's main event has been completely called off because both guys injured themselves.
Right, and I've seen that before, too. Where, like, whole matches have had to been scrapped because both guys are hurt. So.
Yep. To their credit, though, they're still going to draw a huge buy rate no matter who it is because it's UFC and it's hot shit right now.
Yeah, and most of their top guys are being promoted properly, so they got leeway.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. So as well as accidents during training, they're offering insurance to you or coverage for non-training incidents such as automobile accidents. So that's interesting. We'll talk about that in a second, too. this is all according to ProWrestling.net, by the way. The new policy adds 24-hour worldwide medical life insurance and dental coverage. So, you know, fight night, Saturday night, get a tooth knocked out, go run to the nearest 24-hour orthodontist, and there you go.
There you go. No, that's pretty comprehensive. That's a huge step.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Zuffa, which is the parent company that owns UFC and Strikeforce, will pay 100% of the premiums for its athletes and have an employee dedicated to handling and filing all claims. So, I mean, they've, you know, pretty much rolled out the red carpet for their independent contractors.
Yes.
I guess the question here. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, the question here is, WWE has independent contractors. TNA has independent contractors. Is this something that's going to force the hands of the two wrestling companies? Is it something that's going to lend credence to, you know, lawsuits that were filed by people like Raven and Chris Canyon and those types? Is this something that's going to trickle into professional wrestling, do you think?
I mean, it's going to get media coverage, and it could lead to more lawsuits and scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it could just force the hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have more faith in WWE doing it.
They're more apt to take care of their independent contractors than the boneheads at TNA.
I mean, you got to give them credit. They've been paying for people's rehabs and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it wouldn't be totally out of the question that they move forward again.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, absolutely.
It's sort of like, I don't know, it's sort of like gay marriage, where people's opinions change over the years, you know. People just sort of get smarter about stuff as time goes on. So.
Yep, opinions change individually and collectively, and, yeah, you know, maybe it takes 50, 100, 200 years or whatever, but, yeah, and in this case, you know, independent contractors, you know, 30 years ago, wrestlers weren't talking about this. Harley Race knew what he was getting into. Every night of the week, he knew he might possibly be hurt, and he might have been smart with his money, or, you know, maybe the NWA would have thrown a little money his way, or probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
You know, all these years later, when people like, oh, I don't know, Wade Keller are all up in arms about, you know, oh, this guy's hurt. Boy, he really needs a vacation schedule built in, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, now maybe the insurance thing, yeah, like you said, the light will be shown on it, and maybe – you know, who knows? Like, unionizing didn't work when Sergeant Slaughter said he was going to do it, and it didn't work when Jesse Ventura said he wanted to do it, or would, you know, all these people from the 80s, and, you know, no one really talked about it in the 90s, and now we're into the 2010s, and yeah, maybe the feelings have changed, and somebody else will bring it up.
Exactly. I think that's going to be the next thing here pretty soon. Somebody's going to push for it.
Yep.
Well, hopefully it's a prominent wrestler, you know?
Yeah. Well, they'd be smart, too, just for the health of it, but they'd also be smart, too, because I'm sure now wrestlers are making less money than maybe ever, and my assumption behind that is due to the general statement here, due to the lack of veterans and the deluge of relative newcomers to WWE, you know, they're paying their developmental guys $500 a week.
Right.
That's shit, you know. They don't have to travel that much, at least. But, you know, I'm sure that there are guys who are barely making, like, $100,000 a year and still have to pay for their own transportation and all this stuff.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, their take-home is going to be shit.
People assume that, you know, if you're on TV, you're a celebrity, you're rich, but they don't take that into account. These people have to pay for absolutely everything.
Yeah, and that everything includes their insurance. I mean, kids could be going in the poorhouse. There are TNA wrestlers who they've said, you know, have to work. There have been people who have held championship belts that have had to have side jobs at home in order to make ends meet. So anything that would help the health benefits of their wrestlers, which is their bread and butter. I mean, I know you can just get anybody, but, you know, it's not like they're going to call up goddamn, I don't know, Zach Gowan again, or who's that kid from I'm trying to think of a skinny blonde kid from Ring of Honor that said he was from Des Moines, Iowa. Alex Sugarfoot Payne, you know?
Oh, yeah, Sugarfoot. Maybe the worst wrestler I've ever fucking seen.
Just, so,
oh,
you know, you can't just get anybody to fill in these spots, but I think that thinking is a thing of the past now, you know? Oh, they can just get anybody to fill my spot. Well, they really can't because they're trying to put on the greatest show on earth.
Right.
And, you know, as a token of their appreciation, yes, some insurance would be nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how I feel about it.
I think that multiplied by infinity and then plus about 13 is exactly what Wade Keller thinks about all of this. And you can read all of his thoughts on his new Twitter account, Twitter.com/Keller_Wade. Wade Keller just got on Twitter on May 7th, and he's been on for 4 days, today's the 10th or 11th, 10th, I guess. He's 4 or 5 days, he's been on for 4 or 5 days, and I don't quite think he knows how to Twitter yet.
Why is that?
He's already begging for 1,000 fans, like, all night last night, he was like, oh, let's get me up to 1,000 fans. And I actually thought for a second, maybe he meant that for the PW Torch account.
Right.
Which I went to, and it was teetering around 1,000, I don't know. But then on the PW Torch Twitter account, there was a post that said, new initiative, add Wade Keller to Twitter and get him over 1,000 fans. A, what the fuck does it matter whether or not only Wade Keller has 1,000 fans unless you really
right?
want people to read about fucking tofu? B, you know, push your brand, your personal brands, whatever it is. People in wrestling know Wade Keller, but people
right.
that want to know about wrestling don't give a fuck about Wade Keller. They care about Pro Wrestling Torch.
Right.
And he only had like, well, only, shit, who am I to say only? He had 393 followers last time I checked this afternoon, and he's asking for 1,000.
Right.
And,
yeah, that ain't
going
to happen.
No, not for a while anyway. And for the record, Stunt Granny has 57 followers
nice.
On Twitter, and we love each and every one of you. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to actually – oh, go ahead.
Nope. I was just yaying.
Yay. Have you had a chance to look at Wade's Twitter account by any chance?
No, not at all.
If you feel like hopping online at some point, and you don't have to do it now, or you don't definitely don't have to read them yet. I apologize to the guy, but his posts right now are just so inane that I don't remember. It might have been, well, it was one E3 anyway. I was telling this, talking to over IM about this yesterday, said, this has to be a parody account. And he said, these posts are, I think it was Jeremy, said, these posts are so bad, this has to be a parody, right?
Right.
You know, and
you know, no, truth be honest, I don't do the Twitter thing, so, you know, whatever.
You know, for the most part, you're not really missing out, but there are some wrestlers that have some gems on there.
I mean, I look at Shax every now and then because he's funny as hell.
Yeah, he is.
And that's about the extent of my Twittering.
He was one of the first people I followed on my own Twitter account because he's funny.
Yeah, right on, right on.
If you log on to the Stunt Granny one, though, we're following about 200 people, and I think they're all wrestlers, or the majority are wrestlers, some wrestling personalities, and some just, you know, people in the tight-knit Stunt Granny circle. There's some funny shit going on in there, like Yoshi Tatsu, every morning, he'll tweet, good morning, WWE Universe. I am awake. Today is a great day. Well, see you. And then at the end of the day, it was a great day. Going to bed. See you tomorrow, WWE Universe.
That's great.
They're so bad that, like, other wrestlers like Kurt Hawkins are making, and I think, like, referee Scott Armstrong or Steve, it's Scott, yeah, Scott, are making fun of his tweets on Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if that's a parody or something. That'd be fucking awesome if he was doing that on purpose.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Yeah, if he were not this oblivious, that would be hilarious. He actually got one of his own action figures, Yoshi Tatsu did, and he was taking pictures of his action figure, but not even doing, like, compromising things or silly things, or just, like, laying on a pillow in his hotel room. And, yeah. And he posted them on TwitPic, and I think he actually purposely wrote a haiku about his action figure because it said, my room's walls are beige. This is my action figure, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. This is what you're missing out on by not checking out Twitter.
I'm trying to go to Wade's right now.
I know that I'm selling you on Twitter huge right now by talking about Wade and Yoshi Tatsu.
Yeah, you really are.
Goldust likes to get on there and badmouth people who say legitimately nice things to him.
What?
He'll retweet their posts, like, they'll be like, you know, always been a Goldust fan, please retweet me. And he'll be like, no, blocked, Mark.
Well, good, that's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
Please retweet me? Oh, like you're going to be fucking, I'm really fucking something now. Goldust retweeted me.
He's going
to
go to all
the fuck is wrong with you people?
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, seriously. I didn't ask for it, but I was actually proud that Curt Hawkins tweeted something I put up on Stunt Granny.
Okay.
So that was kind of
nice.
But I didn't go begging for it. I just, you know, it was the opportunity presented itself, and I posted something about him, and he retweeted it. So there you go.
So he has been on Stunt Granny.
Yep. It'd be awesome if he was wise to us. Dave Lagana and his I Want Wrestling accounts both follow us.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back in the day when we thought we had a mole?
Yeah.
Jeremy actually said, I wonder if he was our mole.
Mm.
That would be stunning if Dave Lagana was our mole.
Mm. I'm on to you, Dave Lagana.
Yeah. I think I mentioned Joey Styles on here last time I did an audio, too. His tweets are actually really funny. He tweets, you know, as his WWE, I'm the online guy type of persona, but he does it with his edgy Joey Styles personality.
Okay.
So that's good.
I know he got in trouble for his politics.
Yeah. Yep. Now, he really doesn't let anything get in the way of a funny post or a smarmy, snarky comment. Smarmy, I'm a retard. Snarky comment. But actually, while you're on there, since we're speaking about Twitter, and we were talking about people who have gotten into automobile accidents recently, you might want to mention that Shane Helms, for those of you who weren't aware, was recently in a motorcycle accident, which is now being investigated as a DUI.
Hmm. See, now we were talking about meth earlier, so we can tie this all together.
Yeah, with that whole Moore County, the North Carolina gang there, the Hardy Boys and all, and dipshits.
Yeah.
I wonder how he
burned his house down.
No shit. When somebody burns their house down on the south side of Des Moines or blows up their apartment building, we all know why it happened.
Yeah.
When Jeff Hardy does it, well, oh, I don't know. You know, even Jeremy had to joke and say, oh, WWE must have burned his house down.
That was fucking brilliant.
And that's how Stunt Granny was born.
Oh, that idiot.
Hey, he's twittering now. So eyewitness allegations have Shane Helms at a restaurant drinking heavily before getting on his motorcycle with his girlfriend on the back and then flying through a stop sign and crashing into a chain link fence. I don't know where his body landed, but he must have landed hard because he ended up in the hospital. Road burns all over his swollen face. And
yeah,
his girlfriend
face
and a neck brace. Yeah, it did. I guess really the interesting fallout of this was, and you pointed it out to me before I got a chance to see it on Twitter, that Velvet Sky was actually soliciting for donations.
Yeah. I just asked a question. This guy was in WWE for over 10 years. WrestleMania payoffs, merchandise up the ass, action figures, T-shirts, whatever.
Yeah.
You think he'd have a decent nest egg?
Sure.
But instead, he's using one of his old rats. And let's face it, she was.
Yeah.
To get money from fans to pay for his hospital.
Right.
Come on.
I know. I loved your comment over IM today. You can't take the rat out of the rat.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Not saying she's not hot, you know, but...
Well, yeah, she's a smoke dog, but yeah, you're right. It's like you think that a guy that has made that much money would, I think as you said, would have a dollar in his pocket, but apparently he doesn't have a pot to piss in these days.
Right.
I guess that podcast that he's doing where he badmouths Shawn Michaels every opportunity he gets isn't paying the bills either.
Hmm.
Dipshit. I think it was Fanatic who actually left a comment on the post on Stunt Granny that said karma is a bitch. And
yeah.
Like I replied, the only thing that kept me from putting that in my post was the fact that Ultimate Warrior said that Bobby the Brain Heenan got cancer due to karma.
Oh, my God.
The karma being that Bobby Heenan said bad things about Ultimate Warrior, and then apparently that caused God to strike him with cancer.
Wow.
Like, yeah, real top-notch guy, this Ultimate Warrior. So I try to avoid using that, the idea of somebody, you know, blah, 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 karma, just because
right.
I associate it with the way the Ultimate Warrior thinks.
Oh, sure.
Yep, not the road I want to go down.
Wrestling people are, by and large, really fine upper crust people.
yeah, right.
Well,
one of those upper crust, Shannon Moore actually got on Twitter earlier today, and I don't recall him having a Twitter account before this, and he might have, and it just was so inconsequential I didn't remember. But
He
made it a point to say, I wrote down some version of what he said, that he wasn't on there to update on Shane or Jeff. They can do that. So they're good friend, you know, in their little tight circle of Omega nerds.
Yeah.
Is on there now. And now he's trying to play like crowd control or, you know, spin doctor or something like that. And he's like, well, I'm on here, but I'm not going to say anything about those guys.
Right.
Like he's trying to say this is neither the time nor the place. No, they can do it. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to fucking read, the fucking meth-induced ramblings of Jeff Hardy.
Right?
Yeah. Actually, that'd be a fun Twitter account. Shit Jeff Mumbles.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd read it?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's what would make you pull the trigger on Twitter.
It would. Twitter needs Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy's random, inconsequential mumblings.
Yes, there you go. Twitter needs Jeff Hardy like YouTube needs Matt Hardy.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, anyway, best of luck in Shane Helms and Twitter.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know, man. Let's see. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Do we want to go back to WWE talk for a couple of seconds?
Do it.
I'm thinking about the only other thing worth talking about. You know, it's just to recap some newsworthy things. Randy Orton and Christian has been talked into the ground. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more opinions on that beyond what everyone's already said?
No.
Let's see.
I always end up repeating myself on these audios because, you know, they just do stuff until the glue has died from the horse, you know?
Yeah.
So,
that's right. God. Yeah, about the end, you know, John Cena, Miz. Yeah, just one quick thought on the Miz. People after Extreme Rules are like, I just wish Miz had a longer title reign. Well, you know what? I bet Miz is perfectly happy making main event money, whether he's got to carry that big-ass thing in his luggage or not.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no, the belt just doesn't mean what it used to, you know?
Right, yep.
Where you're slotted means more than having the belt or not. So.
Yeah, exactly. You still get to see Miz wrestle in the main event,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he had a decently long title reign, you know, comparatively speaking, in recent history, so it is what it is now.
And it's better than Cena and Orton trading it back and forth.
Ah, Jesus, for 2 years, basically.
That was horrible.
Uh-huh. And Miz is getting rubbed from The Rock in L.A., and, you know, he's in a perfectly okay spot. I don't think he needs us to worry about him.
No, don't cry for me, Argentina. He's just fine.
Yeah. I think about the only other angle worth talking about here as of late is the Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler angle, and I'm wondering, has it overstayed its welcome? They've been doing this since – I mean, they've been doing the kind of heely Michael Cole thing for a while. We're going into our third month of Cole-Lawler feud is, you know, are we reaching a peak here, or are we
yeah,
really, has it overstayed their welcome?
This is kind of too much.
Yeah.
You know, they got to just finish it and move on.
Yeah.
The more Cole is on commentary, the more that wears thin, too.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where, you know, there's a shelf life for angles, and when
yeah.
you have two guys who are as exposed as, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, John Cena's on, like, every other quarter hour or every, you know, twice a show. Or even Steve Austin back in the day was on, like, 6 out of 8 quarter hours.
Yes.
Michael Cole is literally on every second of Monday Night Raw.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, they had their WrestleMania match. They had the goofy ending, followed up with a gimmick match at the next pay-per-view. You know, they feel the need to give it one more. They've already gotten to the point where they're rehashing things within the angle. You know, a few weeks, maybe a couple of months ago even, they had
mm-hmm.
Jerry Lawler reach through that hole in the coal mine and pull coal into it, and his face got smushed against the glass. And they did that again this last Monday.
Right.
I mean, you know, is June going to roll around and they're going to smush his face against the glass again to sell another
right.
pay-per-view?
Right, exactly. Where else can you go with it?
Right, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Austin, because it was like 1999,
mm-hmm.
and this dude I went to high school with, who wasn't really a wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
said something to me and my friends about how, oh, you must be enjoying the Austin era. This is a golden age for wrestling.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I hear you, man. But by this point, Austin is on almost every segment of every show, and it's getting to be overkill.
Yeah.
So, you know, among, like, hardcore wrestling fans, there's, like, a backlash against him, at least as far as I could see, you know, and he was just, like, fascinated by that. He didn't even think of that, you know? But,
yeah.
But that's how I saw it, anyway.
Oh, sure. There's always the potential for that. I mean, almost anything in pop culture. Charlie Sheen, it's not even funny to talk about him anymore.
Huh.
You know, if you said F-18 or Tiger Blood or winning or something like that nowadays, I mean, we're 2 months out of that, and people are already rolling their eyes and, yeah, winning, whatever. And, you know.
Right.
You play a pop song on the radio too much, it gets overplayed, and everybody hates it in 3 months.
Right.
See the same
I always laugh when I hear that song by the Goo Goo Dolls or whatever.
Uh-huh.
With the line, the tired song keeps playing on the tired radio.
Uh-huh.
And then that song became that song, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Delicious irony right there.
So it can happen in all forms of, I mean, entertainment is really the main place where it happens.
Yep.
You know, no. I'm trying to come up with an analogy. It doesn't happen in, like, the food sector, you know. No one really gets sick of eating, I don't know, peanut butter. Like, oh, fuck peanut butter. There's a huge peanut butter backlash. There's no analogy to it. It's entertainment is where this happens, you know. People get sick of actors, songs, musicians. It's possible people get sick of the wrestlers that end up on their TV show constantly. And I like Michael Cole because he's doing it pitch perfectly.
Yeah.
But it's too much. It's just too much.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really hoping that Over the Limit is the end. I think they've reached their limit.
Yep.
I've got to give credit to, we both, I'm sure, still agree, Jerry Lawler is infinitely, perpetually awesome. So he can basically do no wrong anyway.
And I should point out, if anybody can carry through on a long-term angle, it's him. Look at what he did with Bret Hart.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know.
That shit
lasted angle.
Years.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I think rather than letting this audio last for years, maybe we should end that on a high note. Boy, I'm sounding like Sean Mooney over here. The Macho Man. I think these people are getting their money's worth, Dusty.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. I think that about sums it up for our.
Todd Pettengill was so much better, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh,
really.
Passive aggressive swipe in your face.
I still remember. I actually cringe every time I go back to watch the tape. I used to tape the 30-minute countdown shows, which I'm sure you did too. And I don't remember the show. It might have been, it could have been any of those shows, but Todd Pettengill at one point, he's like, look at the clock, we're under 2 minutes. And then he starts singing, under 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, yeah, you lost me there, Toad.
Toad,
back to you, brother.
It's like the only thing that that really bothered me about him was how out of place he seemed once the Attitude Era started.
Yeah.
Because he was a supreme cheeseball.
Yep.
And he kind of fit in during the mid-90s, but by the time everything else around him changed and he's still Captain Cheese.
Yeah, it was easy for him to interview Mo, Oscar, and Mabel, but not Stone Cold Steve Austin, who walked away from him multiple times.
Yep,
exactly. Ah, well, what do you say we walk away from this audio? You like how I'm just trying any segue I can find, any transition?
You are itching to get out of here.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, in that case, I'm going to do my sign-off. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter. We don't have Facebook yet, but we will. You can like us on Facebook. Watch Zack Ryder's show on YouTube. It's hilarious. Keep reading our blogs. Keep reading our dumb shit. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Well, poor Eric Nelson. And if I could do it to ya. Baby girl, do it to ya. Yeah, yeah. This is Dusty Giebink, and we will try to do better next time.